Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Eric Endek, Eric Nitalesi in Rotterdam. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
How you're on twice in 3 days. You contacted us on Tuesday looking for your Galway girl from 1977. Wow.
Yeah.
1977. Well, the good news is she's alive and well.
Oh, great. Great. Ah, great. Ah, oh, good.
And Eric, not only that she's Fiona's alive and well, she bears no ill will.
Oh, great.
No grudges.
Because Joe, first of all, I didn't know I was that interesting. That I've been interviewed for the second time now.
Yeah, okay.
And the other thing is, I must have hurt her, you know, because I'm 69 years of age now, and I remember her last words when we met each other in somewhere in Utrecht.
Yeah.
And she must have seen that my non-verbal language was very distant, and she said something like, "Eric, I've come all the way to see you." And it's still in my mind that I must have hurt her, because knowing that what I know now,
yes,
I should have reacted in a very, very different way. But
okay, you felt you were giving her the cold shoulder, even though she'd come all the way and you had a relationship and had been visiting each other. But you felt, and as you explained, for some reason your family didn't see the full joy of Fiona the way you did. Fiona says she was listening to the programme.
Really?
Yeah. And she says, obviously she recognised your voice, but also she said, remember you said she was reading a book called The Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, remember she gave me that book. Yeah.
It wasn't called The Flock of Seagulls. It was called Jonathan Livingston's Seagull. It's a very popular book at the time, back 40 years ago, by Richard Bach.
I know.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you, but the book is really called A Flock of Seagulls. I still have that.
Okay.
I still have that.
Great.
A Flock of Seagulls.
Great.
Because we were talking about the Irish culture and stuff like that. And before, and during that period, I was into Richard Adams with Watership Down and The Plague Dogs.
Okay.
And she told me, because I was studying to become a teacher of English, and she told me, oh, there's another book for you, which we were very interested. Very interesting to read. A Flock of Seagulls.
Okay. She said, when she was listening the other day, and obviously she wanted to be sure it was you, she said memories returned after listening to you. She actually remembers having a lovely trip cycling around, among other places, the university in Amsterdam. She remembers very vaguely meeting your family for a long time. She's a very private person. And you know the way you said at the start, Endek, you said, I thought I was too ordinary to be interesting, which is not true. But she says, I'm a very private person. And I'm a very, what was the phrase you used, Eric? I'm a very ordinary person. But that being, ordinary is a very undervalued attribute. And you described yourself completely separately before I read out her note. As an ordinary person. She says, I'm an ordinary person. She hadn't heard you say it, obviously. And that being ordinary is a very undervalued attribute. I don't know what she means in that context. And the best news of all, I suppose, is she has given us permission for us to give you her number when we're finished this guy. So you will be. And she's still in Ireland.
Where does she live at the moment?
I can't tell you that for security reasons.
Okay, of course. Okay, yeah. I understand. Because, Joe, 2 years ago, I was in Ireland.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I was in Tralee with staying with a great friend of mine. It's Margaret.
Yeah.
She is the one who started this all. Yeah. And we even went to Galway for one day, and there we split up because they wanted to do their things, and I wanted to see Fiona, and the only thing I wanted to do was walking alone there by yeah. myself, and I was sitting on the stairs in a kind of park, and I thought, well, I just closed my eyes, and when I open my eyes, I see her. Of course, that didn't happen, but
I know it's. That was almost a fantasy on your part. You were hoping, that,
yeah,
like something
yeah,
from, like something from a novel, one day or whatever,
yeah.
right, David Nichols. Yeah. Okay, but so Eric, will you let us know if you decide? Will you let us know how the conversation goes when
yeah,
you talk
of
to Fiona?
And
the producer here who spoke to her said she sounded an absolutely lovely, lovely person. As you do yourself. By the way, the good news is she's still a Galway girl. She's still living in Galway.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so please
okay.
God. So please
I'm
God.
I'm so happy that she doesn't bear ill will to me, because if she would do that, it serves me right. It serves me right because I did very nasty. But therefore, I'm glad to have a second chance. Just
okay.
to say to her, Fiona,
have a chat
I'm very,
over.
Very sorry.
Have a chat over the phone anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. And let us know how you get on. We'll give you the phone number with Fiona's permission after this call, and you can sort out when you're going to talk. Eric, come back to Ireland soon.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Absolutely.
Eric, why is the Netherlands doing so well in the Olympics?
Lots of talents.
Wow, it's incredible.
And by the way, I have to explain. My real name is Endik.
Yes.
Originally, my parents came from the South Moluccas.
Okay.
That's a group of islands near Indonesia.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And
we
moved to Holland in 1951.
Right.
And being a great fan, and still am, from
Eric
Clapton,
yeah.
I named myself Eric, and Fiona knows me as Eric. You know?
Okay, as Eric. Okay. Well, remember, even if you're just on the phone, remember to sing one of the Eric. You look wonderful tonight or today.
Yes.
Okay.
You look wonderful tonight. Yeah, great.
Yeah. You're proving once again that people from Holland sing that again, Eric.
And I say yes. You look wonderful tonight.
You've a great soccer team. You have great participants in the Olympics in Paris, but
yeah.
I don't know about the singing. I don't think that was deux points. Anyway,
no.
Eric, have a nice, relaxed chat
yeah.
between the two of
okay.
you. We'll have to catch up on.
Okay.
Anytime we can help.
Much.
Yeah, thank you
yeah.
for contacting
thanks
us.
Thanks a million, really.
Yeah, see you later. Mind yourself.
Yeah,
that's Endek, christened Nitalesi. He's living in Holland, and he's a Dutch person. And as you know, the South Malacca was a colony of, well, they had many colonies, hadn't they, the Dutch? They were out sailing and colonising long before other people. Now, a new company hopes to colonise Ireland, and they're called Kingdom of Sweets. Is that correct, Philly?
Oh, hi, Joe.
Yeah.
How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for making the call, yeah.
Yes, the Kingdom of Sweets, I came across last week, and I was absolutely horrified, and I tried to do as much as I could to, I suppose, wonder, could we challenge this kind of thing?
Okay.
You
describe, that they are a chain, they're primarily in the UK, they're called the Kingdom of
okay.
Sweets. They're just row after row after row after shelf of every single sweet, especially, obviously, they have the ones we would know, the Cadburys and Roundtrees and that.
Okay.
But they also have lots of American sweets, and they have lots of sweets on open display. So what's your concern, Philly?
OK, Okay, so I was in a shopping centre last week. I don't know if I can say the name of the shopping centre.
Yes, of course.
But it's Nutgrove Shopping Centre, and it's located in a kind of residential area. Lovely. It's a lovely, lovely shopping centre that actually caters really well to the local community, and it's a nice size shopping centre, so a lot of people would visit it. It's got free parking. So it's a very, very popular shopping centre, and with a various mix of shops and everything else. Anyway, I went in last week to get something, and there, I was shocked. That is probably what I could say. There's two entrances into Nutgrove. One of them is the main entrance up towards Tesco's and Dunn's, and it passes there's a wide passageway up to it, and from about, I'd say a foot and a half, 2 feet inside the door, right up the centre of the foyer, right up to the centre of the shopping centre, is this. I think I sent you a photograph. I sent this photograph to a lot of different places. It is a massive, gigantic, awful display of sweets. Now, I know that, but they're the worst type of sweets that you could imagine giving to a child. They're the sugary, the sweet and sour, their colours, there's a massive display of colours.
And they're all open. They're all, as I say, loose.
It's all open.
Loose sweets.
It's the width of the foyer. I was actually counting. I think there's 13 compartments on. There's three lines of 13 compartments of the most rubbishy, horrible sweets that you can imagine a child eating. Like, they're all the, and I don't want to sound too extreme, but honestly, there isn't a chocolate in it. There isn't a good sweet in it. It's like all those sugary, coloured. I mean, it's awful. It is absolutely awful.
And what's like? Is it like they're all legal for a start? We're talking about sweets.
They're legal. They're legal
and
suppose,
safe.
Yeah, you know, and in the context. Yeah, they're legal and they're safe, but I suppose it was where they were, it was the amount of them, and it was
the location.
You couldn't avoid them. Okay. Now, I mean, I know they're legal, and I know children eat sweets, and children get treats, but this is like, you can't go to any shop in the shopping centre if you use this foyer without having to nearly squeeze past this ginormous display. And I suppose one of the issues that I have is, I mean, I know they're legal, that doesn't mean that they're okay. And there's been a lot of discussion on childhood obesity and dental issues and hyperactivity, and you know, the conversation that was on last week all about slushies and the harmful ingredients in them. And I suppose we know so much about the harmful effects of sugar that I just think anybody going in with their child, and there's loads of small children that go into this shopping centre, if you're trying to do your weekly shopping, if you're trying to go to Dunn's to look at school uniforms, if you're trying to do anything, you have to pass it, and you'll probably have a child having a tantrum.
Well, I tweeted earlier the photograph of it. It's extraordinarily colourful.
Did you?
They're loose sweets. There's a certain number of little shovels and bags.
It's impossible to try and describe it. It's like, it's huge. It's like a trough of, I mean, I didn't want to sound too extreme, but it's like a trough of sugar. And it was almost like some company came in and with a crane of rubbish and dumped it in the middle of Nutgrove. But you see,
it's not
I
that.
I really did.
It is legal sweets. Kingdom of Sweets, they have about 20 stores in the UK, a lot of them in London.
Yeah.
Now, and they're trying to get into the Irish market. You can go onto their website and they're looking for, they're run by franchisees.
Well, I think this is where, I mean, I was just so angry when I saw it. And I said, like, do we want this for our kids? Do we want it for ourselves?
So your concern is that, even supermarkets now are a lot more responsible about pester power at the checkout, the chocolates and the sweets. Some of them are anyway, a lot more responsible.
Yeah.
Fergal Quinn led that years ago, God rest him. And the whole thing was that when you got to the cash register, your child would pester you for a bar of chocolate or whatever.
Yeah.
Your point is, this is an open display. You can't miss it. You don't have to go into a shop. Isn't that your point? You just have to go into the centre. Now, you can call anything you want rubbish, but that's a judgment. Like, a lot of people like them. Did you ever? It's a stupid question. You didn't buy any, of course. You don't have to.
No, I didn't, and I don't have to. And I suppose
was there one sweet in it? A cough drop, or a jelly bean, or a wine gum, or a pineapple squeeze? Any of that you'd even like to try?
No, but you know, even if I did like to try it, the look of this monstrous collection.
But you see, but it doesn't.
I
tweeted it earlier at Joe Liveline, and the reaction of just looking at it before I came down here, it said a number of people said it looks absolutely magnificent in terms of the colours, artistically.
Okay,
and that's the aim of it. There's beautiful reds and blues. It's laid out. I'm sure whoever's running Kingdom of Sweets in Nutgrove, I'm sure they were given a plan, as you are in almost every supermarket,
about where you place
the cough drops and the jelly beans, and where you mix the colours, and then those long red licorice pieces.
And there's absolutely no doubt that it's the marketing is
okay. Where was the cashier?
So there was a guy at the end of the end of the display who. So what you do is you go along, you pick your sweets, and you have
with a shovel, with a little shovel. And then,
huge shovel, Joe. Other issue,
okay.
Right? The scoops are so big. If you actually felt you were just having a half a scoop of sweets, okay, which would look like as if you were having a very little amount because of the ginormous display. So you'd actually feel quite, but like the scoops are huge. They're big, like I just think it's extremely.
I just wonder in terms of in terms of being you scoop up your sweets. It's children, I presume. You open the bags are there, the paper bags. There's a fair chance that some of the sweets might end up on the floor. Would they not?
They might. Our kids could run by and put their hands in and get the sweets out as they're passing. You know, it's all open. It's completely open. There's no, you know, some of the ones that you see, but there's a kind of a window thing in front of them or something. There's nothing. These are all they're open. So,
you see, like one of the texts we're after getting there is. And bear with me now, I'm only reading the event. It says, did Philly notice, do they have brandy drops? I can't get them anywhere. Do you remember brandy drops?
Honestly,
it looks like they have everything.
Look, I'm very aware of coming on, and particularly in the stage of the world at the moment, like, okay,
I know.
Like,
it's a rich,
enjoy sweets.
A rich tapestry,
I really don't want to sound like that, but what I do think is we know the effect of sugar on for children. We know about diabetes. We know about obesity. Yeah. We know about hyperactivity. We know what sugar does, and the blatant disregard for people, I suppose, was really what upset me. And the blatant disregard of Nutgrove for their customers really upset me. And I just thought there's no way you can justify, like, everybody can get their sweets if they want them, but at least you have a choice. You have a choice of going into the shop to look for your sweets. If I was thinking of, like, mothers with two or three children trying to get to do their shopping and having to deal with either a temper tantrum or massive hassle, or else feeling that they had to give in and get it. And one of the things that I feel is, you know, they're in this. I know these are in the States. I know that it can be normalised. And I suppose the question that we need to ask is this what we want to walk by if we just want to go to the shops? And when we know, and I'm not being a killjoy, and I'm not being
don't keep saying that, because I know you're not. I know you're not being a killjoy.
But I was, as
I said to people, I was in Galway there a few weekends ago, and I saw Auntie Nellie's sweet shop there. Now, I haven't been in one of them. I know there's one somewhere in Dublin. And I went. Now, it is a shop that you open a door and go into.
And I
off
think
the
that's
street.
The difference. That's
but I went really in just because I was mesmerised. I used to work in a sweet shop, Island Sweet Shop, beside the house, and I used to serve licorice all sorts and cough drops and dib dabs and sherbets and drumsticks and trigger bars and Calypso bars. They used to serve all them out, and then you had about 15 different jars above, and you weighed the jars into a little Berkeley weighing scales. And I went in to see, it was a bit of nostalgia. Now, being the mean person I am, I didn't buy anything. But I just thought, the range of colours, and I know they are, the range of colours was mesmerising.
Yeah. And look, the sweets are there, and I know they're there, and we all know they're there.
Okay, have you said anything, Philly, too? There's like every shopping centre, how shops and shopping centres are going to survive with the onslaught of Amazon, I do not know. Once the onslaught has started, but they're now walking towards same day delivery, they have it in London, in Ireland. How do small grocery shops, small vegetable shops, so the shopping centre has to survive. So if a new tenant comes along and says, we want to pay you to rent out space.
Well, I suppose, you can question all that. Nutgrove is a very popular shopping centre with very loyal customers. It really is. It's a lot of people will go there rather than...
I understand that, and the free parking.
I contacted Nutgrove. I didn't get any answer from them.
Okay.
I contacted the Department of Health because... When I was just looking into, because I was actually saying, can we challenge this type of marketing? I mean, that was really my concern. Like, can we do anything about it? Do we have to sit and just say, okay, this is okay, when we know all the issues around it?
Okay, there, Philly. Joe at RT.ie 51551 text. Richard Paul is in Courtdown in County Wexford. Richard, you're listening to Philly.
How are you doing? Yeah. Philly, I think, is overreacting a little bit. It's a business. Sell sweets. You're going to get it in the shopping centre. You get them all over the world. You have a simple... If your child wants sweets, you can say no. You can say yes. But, like, it's business. You know what I mean? Life goes on. Like, I just think it's a totally overreaction.
Philly?
I know. And I know it'll... Look, I question... The whole thing. I know it can seem like an overreaction. We have a health system that has the fallout of a lot of things that are thrown at our children and thrown at us. And I just feel that there's a public health strategy, there's an action plan. Because I looked into it and I said, I'm not going to buy them, and I don't have small children. So I don't have to, I can avoid them. I just think it is a disregard for the community. I think it's just
okay. Well, let me put that to Richard. Richard, it's not the sweets per se, it's the location. They're not in a shop, they are in the aisle of the shopping centre, and it's a big
you can't avoid them.
It's a big display, 39 different containers.
So obviously the business is in the shopping centre, but it doesn't actually have a specific shop. Is that basically what you're saying? Yeah,
that's my understanding,
isn't it? That's it, yeah. Totally open.
So does that...
It's the whole foyer. The whole way along one entrance into the shopping centre.
Does that make a difference to you, Richard, out of the frying pan into the foyer? Does that make a difference to you, Richard, and what you might think?
Not really. No, I've seen it. I've been in Las Vegas, I've been in New York, and I've seen it over there. And it's up to the parents, really, I think. I know, I can understand to a certain extent what Philly is saying, but it's up to the parents, really, to just say no. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, it's a business. It's someone trying to run a business.
Yeah, but the Kingdom of Sweets that I saw in London, Richard, this is the difference, was a shop that you walked into. Now, it was very appealing because they had all these Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Skittles, Sour Patch Kids, Hershey's, Jolly Ranchers, Snickers, Kit Kats, of course, Starburst.
And there's no sweets like that in this.
Isn't that Butterfingers, M&M, they're an American.
These are all the sugary...
Candy corn.
But they're the kids like, basically. They're the sweets that kids will eat. You know, the sweet, sugary ones, are the attractive ones.
They're the ones also that's why the sugar tax was actually put on, because we know the harmful effects. But look, you know, it's up to people. But I really,
okay, let me bring stay there,
feet.
Stay there,
I
Philly.
Really do.
But Richard, I just wonder if Philly, instead of being Philly, the wonderful Philly Sheen, if Philly was Dr. Donald O'Shea, the obesity consultant from Loughlinstown, who's always on the radio, if he came on and said, listen, we need to get a grip on how we're selling these almost totally sugar sweets to children, would you heed him, Richard?
I'd say the exact same thing.
Okay. Odie, okay, I'll come back to you. 51551. Odie is on WhatsApp.
How are you, Joe?
Good. You're listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I seriously, like, I mean, if it was a can of Red Bull or something, you're not going to give that to your kids. You're going to say no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a little four-year-old boy, and we'll go places. We'll go and see things. He'll be like, Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have this? No, buddy, you don't need it. And if it's something that I know is bad for him, I'm not going to give it to him. You know, if it's something that I think could be okay, I mean, I spoil my boy sometimes. And it is a thing that, you know, if it's something that he may not want, I will give it to him. But I'm not going to give him sugar-laden sweets just to shut him up. Like, it's a case of getting down to his level, talking, letting him know that it's not the best thing for you, bud. Let's go home and have something different, like, you know?
And what do you think of those sweets, Odie, if you were being pressurised to get a scoop for your child? He runs. Children run in ahead into a shopping centre because it's such a safe environment. There's no cars, obviously. They run on ahead of you. The first thing they're going to hit, according to Philly, is this massive 39 baskets of different sugar. Each one of them, it seems, is coated in sugar as well as containing sugar. 39. They will get to that display before you do. Yes. And they'll say, Daddy, 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 look at that, those red and blue, and they're blue and red, and the mice teeth and the milk teeth and everything. Can I have some? You just say, no, buddy, move on.
No, I get down to his level. Now, as you know, Joe, I'm living out here in America, living in South Carolina.
Okay.
The sugary sweets we have out here, the Irish sweets, they're nothing compared to what we have out here. And he has done it. He's run into stores and he's seen something. Like, Dad, can I get this? I'm like, I don't think you really need that, bud. You know, it's not a blatant no way, grab them and walk away. It's communicating with your kids. Like, look, do you really need this? Do you really, really want it?
Okay. No, Elaine.
How you doing?
Joe at RT.A5155108187. Elaine, you know where we're talking about. Do you know where Philly is talking about?
I do, yeah. I mean, my only point was, to clarify and for clarity, is that it doesn't run the whole length of that foyer.
Mm-hmm.
It runs from Star to Claire's shop, accessories, and the jewellers across the way. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with it. It is full of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open. It's open for blue bottles. It's open for little hands. It's open for everything. And I thought we'd got away from that.
That's a good point, yeah. That's a very good point. That
I mean, seriously, as an adult, I'd nearly be, you know, walking across and or walking along and saying, "Have one of them." I'd say they're getting robbed left, right, and centre.
Yeah, but it's okay. But they have scoops. They have the scoops. As Rass used
large
to say,
ones,
in Pass the Freedom.
Said.
They have the scoops.
Yeah, that's not going to stop somebody going along and saying, "I'll have one of them."
Okay. Well, Scoops was Gunter, wasn't it? That was his. We have the Scoops.
A few Scoops.
In Ireland, yeah. Now, okay. Stay there for just one second. I want to go to Helena. Helena Campbell. Helena.
Hello. Hi.
Are you for or against the sweet display? The sugary sweet display. To be fair to Philly, because it is sugary.
You know, just looking at the display, that there's nothing good in it. But my point was, I agree with that first lady. I mean, I'm horrified by the size of it and all. It's today's world and the kids love their sweets. But it's the shovels.
The shovels?
I would call them like nearly shovels. I was going to buy a small amount for my grandson.
Okay.
So you're putting the shovel in and a little amount goes on it. Looking at the shovel, but when I put it in and I went to the nice fella on the counter and he weighed it and he said €8.63.
Wow.
And I said, what? No, not buying them. and I just poured them back.
Well, how much?
Because I thought.
Well, remember, you used to buy a quarter of sweets in your local sweet shop. Is it a quarter pound? It's a quarter pound. What weight was it?
Not at all. This was, I don't know. I think it says 3.29 per 100 grams, which, you know, that's okay, reasonable enough. But so that meant there must have been, what, 200 grams, nearly 300 grams in it. It didn't feel like 300 grams. The bags are quite large, but it's the shovels. If there was a smaller shovel, you'd put it in and get a smaller.
So you basically, you didn't buy anything?
I didn't buy anything. I thought, no, I wouldn't come near it. But I could see that other lady saying, no, what kids are like, my own grandkids included.
And what did you buy, Helena, before you priced it? What were your favourites?
No, I never really bought them. Okay. You know, I never bought that type of sweet, but this one particular little fella was going to be minding. I thought he'd love it. It's the colours. They'd love them.
The colours,
so,
yeah.
I prefer to buy chocolate bars or whatever.
Stay there.
I always have them on hand.
Okay, where's Philly is still there. Madeline Smith. Madeline, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You've been to the Kingdom of Sweets and you're still alive.
I have. My mum lives in Thurstown, I saw them last week and the week before. And I think Philly's a little bit of an exaggeration on how big stand is. Like she was saying, it takes up the whole foyer. It doesn't. It's about three shop lengths.
Okay, that's a lot.
Like if you go in,
but it's in the aisle. It's in the shopping centre aisle.
In the middle of the aisle.
It's not a shop that you walk in through a door. I wonder what did they do? What did they do at night time? Just cover them and close it?
Probably cover them over. Yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah, but I bought some.
Okay.
And they're not cheap now. And I spent 20 euros.
And what did you buy?
I bought some lovely licorice all sorts because they're my favourite.
Licorice
all sorts.
Oh, I
love
them.
Yeah, I love them. And do you know the chocolate with the crunch in the middle? They're kind of like a crunchy, but they're like a honeycomb in the middle.
Oh, yeah, well, that is a crunchy. Yeah.
They're lovely. So, and I have to say, I enjoy them. And I think...
Now, must you pay for the licorice all sorts and the crunchy sweets?
I spent 20 quid. Wow. 20 euro.
And was the bag...
They're dear.
Was the bag heaving?
No, it was about a quarter full, if that.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not cheap. But, you know, kids have to have a treat now and then, don't they?
Yeah, what do you think of that, Philly? Philly. But Philly is... I know Philly keeps... And she's, that is her unique selling point in terms of the call. She just doesn't like, apart from the sugar element, she just doesn't like the location of the centre aisle of the shopping centre, not through a door into a shop. In other words, you cannot, if you're coming in that entrance, you cannot avoid it, Philly. But people are...
I also think, like I know kids get sweets and they get treats and you know, I do think, I mean, I put this also under the point parental well-being. I think people should be able to walk into a shopping centre, walk into the shop that they choose to visit with whoever they're with, without being accosted by this this amount. I know maybe I exaggerate. I don't think I've exaggerated the size, because I mean it's the whole, like, I don't know, when I saw it I just saw this mountain
but it is
open mountain of sugar and that you can't avoid. And I just felt for parents having to pass it, I felt for what we know it does.
A lot of people I see are saying it's like an American candy store, as they use it. Stay there, Philly. More people want to talk after this break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Philly Sheen has come across it seems like a fairly new franchise in Ireland. It's called Kingdom of Sweets. The ones I've seen in the UK are shops that you walk into, but this particular very, very colourful display of very, very sugary coated sweets, it's a pick and mix basically, isn't it, with your little scoop, and it's in the aisle of the shopping centre in Nook Grove. In other words, Kingdom of Sweets you could avoid in London by just not going through the door. You have to make a commitment, but Kingdom of Sweets in Nook Grove is wide open, so to speak. Margaret Gleeson, Margaret, you're listening to Philly.
I'm listening, Joe. Yes, I think firstly I said we should be talking about Kenny Harrington. I wondered if
we did yesterday and the day before, we and we'll do it again.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Look, I agree with the gentleman that rang. I think children will find sweets. I'm a mother and a grandmother. I'd walk by that. I wouldn't even see those things. And those donut places now are in most shopping centres, and they're just as sugary and sweet.
That's true.
And you just have to be able to. What is that donut one?
Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme. They're all over these shopping centres, ice cream parlours. And I think it's up to the parents or grandparents to say no. But I know my grandchildren would forage out them horrible sugary sweets if they got away with it, yeah. So I think business is business. People are trying to, and it's up to the parents or grandparents to say no. I wouldn't even see them now, funnily enough, if I was walking. I don't know. She must have been very close to them.
No, you would see them.
They're that bad.
Oh, they're very strong and colourful. Yeah, that's the idea. Philly, just briefly, why can't parents just say no? No,
of course parents can say no. I suppose my.
But then there's pester power. Have you ever come across pester power, where they start screaming and throwing tantrums and jumping and lying on the floor?
I mean, and I just think parents should be able to go into the shop without having to, without having to deal with that. But the other, Joe, can I just say, because at the end of the day, people are going to do what they're going to do, and I understand that.
I
suppose one of the main points that I wanted to make is that, with everything happening in the world, and I agree with the woman about Kelly Harrington, there's wonderful things happening in the world and there's awful things happening in the world, and we can all feel that, these things are just going to happen. I feel we do have some control over whether we think this is a good idea for our children. If we don't, I think we should vote with our feet. I think we should campaign about
especially in the UK, they've lowered the sugar content in a lot of soft drinks, and the companies have gone along with it, and it has made a difference. Eddie Cummins, you did a bit of scientific study about sugar in sweets. What prompted this?
I have a bit of fetish about sugar and the quantity of sugar, and I mean, sugar in its right quantity is okay. It's just, I'm just really shocked at the amount of sugar that children are consuming in this day and age.
Okay.
When I was a young lad, when I was growing up, my father used to give me threepence on a Friday night and go out, buy something, you know, and that's what I got for the week. Whatever I had on the Friday
your pay,
night,
yeah, your
as
pay.
Far, that's as much as I had for the week. Yeah. You wouldn't get much for threepence nowadays. Yeah. But, like, the World Health Organization has said, statistically, what's regarded as high in sugar, 17 to 20%. If something is 100 grams and 17% of that, or 20% of that's high in sugar. Now, I said to my daughter one day, just a while back, you know, I'm really concerned about the amount of sugar my grandchildren are taking, you're giving to their kids. So I took out the digital scales and I put a bowl on the digital scale.
Okay.
And I said, the bowl is 200 grams. Now, I said, pour into that bowl how much sugar you think they should have each day.
Okay.
And believe it or not, she got it pretty much bang on, about 90 to 20 grams. And I said, see that sugar there? That's exactly how much sugar is in the three biscuits you just gave to the grandson.
And
that's his entire quota for the whole week, or for the whole day. Huh. And the other day he came in, my grandson came in with this, I don't know if you've seen him, Joe, this long straw, with like a straw, and it has all this sizzle stuff in it.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know,
and
like,
he just take it straight down into their gullet. That's 97% sugar, you know.
Wow.
And the long-term implications of that for children are enormous, you know, not only for their dental health, but for their physical health, you know. And that's what concerns me. Like, people can, you know, say sweets, but look at sugar, or look at jam.
Yeah.
Jam is 60% sugar. Even something that's low in sugar would be 37%. The best jam, the lowest jam that I've seen with sugar is 37%. According to the World Health Organization, that's extremely high sugar quantity in that.
Okay.
So for me, if you took the sugar out of sweets and you took the sugar out of biscuits and you took the sugar out of all these things, kids wouldn't eat them. So what are they consuming and why are they eating them?
But Eddie, what do you think of Philly's point about the location of this type of kingdom of sweets offering is different? It's not in a shop, it's actually in the aisle of a shopping centre. So you just, when you come into the shopping centre...
Sugar is very addictive, Joe. People don't understand that. It's addictive. It's like a drug.
Yeah.
And people take it. Some people comfort eat. Some people eat when they're sad, when they're depressed. And these are all comfort. And then they acquire an addiction to them. And even when they come out of the depression or they come out of their, or whatever, they still consume the sugar because it's a very addictive. On RTE, a number of years back, there was a programme and it was about sugar and I was shocked. And I think I gave up sugar for about 4 years after watching that programme. And now I'm very careful about the amount of sugar I eat when I eat it. And certainly I wouldn't be giving kids sugar before they go to bed. And I've seen my grandkids eat biscuits.
But do you think this? I suppose the point of seeing of what Philly's saying, this she thinks this is unfair marketing to children. The fact that it's on such an open display.
The thing about it is, children usually inherit their parents' habits. Now, if you look at people walking around the street, they're all eating biscuits. All as that woman said, donut shops. So if the adults. The children are watching the adults and they're saying, well, it's okay for them to do. You know, so they're just inheriting their parents' addictions. And the long-term consequence of that, as the World Health Organization said, is obesity. The level of obesity in the Western world is it's desperate. And this is all due to not only the amount of food we're taking in, but the amount of sugar we're taking in. And sugar is
I do a lot of cycling.
And if I go out on cycle, I take gels with me.
Who's that coming in? Who's coming in there? Margaret. Eddie, listen to Margaret for a sec. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, none of us disagree about the danger of sugar. But this issue the woman has is about where it's been displayed. And we're back to, again, parental control at home to do with...
Margaret, I don't know whether you are a grandparent or not.
I am. But Margaret,
That's what I mean. Do grandparents not give in to grandchildren quicker than parents do?
Well, my husband would, but I wouldn't, I have to say. But he buys the box of Cocoa Pops every couple of weeks and they come down for them.
That's the cereal.
But they wouldn't get them at home. Yeah, but there's a lot of sweet sugar in them too.
Oh, I know that,
Yeah.
Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi. Good, not a bother. Listen, I'm listening to all of that discussion and, you know, I have 20 years experience in the confectionery industry and the high end of that industry, okay? So it's not this sort of, you know, what I'm going to call sugar confectionery that's a complete aisle of it. And I am really, really worried, just like the gentleman before me, about the level of sugar that people are intaking. And it is about choice. It is about parental control. It's about many of those things. But, for example, we don't have alcohol anymore right in front of you in stores where you can, you have to go into a section of the store.
Okay, good point,
We have restrictions around some things. And sugar should belong to that very, very soon because we're dealing with a substance that is highly addictive, highly addictive. And to have young children have eating untold amounts of this, I mean, they have the money anyway if they want to jump into a shop and buy this. But it's about helping educate them with their choices to understand the outcomes. Food dudes are doing huge work in this respect. Okay. You know,
and when you say you were in the high end of the confectionery, what does that mean, Melissa?
Well, I'm talking about chocolate, high-end chocolate, you know, gifting chocolate, you know, really chocolate. That's not on your shopping list every day of the week. It's something you would go to someone's house and gift.
Yeah.
Like you might, let's say, a homemade baked cake.
Okay, a gift. Yeah, okay. And we probably have to... Well, I think we have the tastiest chocolate in the world because of Cadbury's, for example.
We do.
It's made from real milk, not powdered milk.
We really
real milk,
do have
real
some
Irish
of the most
kettle.
Exquisite chocolates in the world. But it's a different level when you're talking about, you know, these sort of cola bottles, fizzy sort of, you know, all this bagged confectionery. I mean, they are so unhealthy for children. And there are options. As a parent, you can do so much. But from a legislative point of view, something has to be done. From how we make availability there.
Okay, okay.
All where's that John, where's level John, has to be done.
Okay, thanks. Good to meet Margaret, Melissa. Okay. Margaret, John Brennan before the break. John.
Hi, yo.
Good. You ran ran a shop.
I had a sweet shop in Milltown called The Barn.
Okay.
And I wish I had the ability to display the sweets we had, like that the World of Sweets has. It's our speciality was broken chocolate, broken Kit Kats, broken snacks, and all sorts of things like that. And people would come out for it. But I think obviously there is a problem with consuming too much sugar. But I think the real issue, really, that the lady rang up about was basically the presentation. I mean, it's just all of this has been done before. There's a Lind shop down in Kildare Village. There's the Torrentons in Scotland. You know, it's the presentation, really.
But they are shops, and, John. It's not the point of Philly's.
That's true. That is true.
You have to walk into the shop. And in the Lynch shop and a Thornton shop or whatever, or Leonidas, you have they are high-end, but they're also expensive. Now, apparently in 2018, we brought in a sugar-sweetened drinks tax in Ireland, and that has reduced the sugar content. But still, it's some energy drinks contain up to 17 spoons of sugar and twice as much caffeine as an espresso. Wow.
Well, our customers used to buy 10p bags of sweets, and the amount of sugar in those was very, very little. Really what has happened is the marketing has got much better, the packaging has got much better, and they are very attractive. I mean, and their modus operandi is to sell as much sweets as possible.
Yeah,
it's a small, interesting fact. Our broken Kit Kat was the real favourite, and one of our customers was a pal of yours. We gave her, and he used to come in and buy some broken chocolate for his children.
Yeah, of course.
That's gone back a long time.
Yeah, he would have been 90 last weekend. So, by the way, where did you... Can you get broken Kit Kat? Can you get broken biscuits? Can you get broken chocolate anymore? Can you source it for a shop?
I don't know. We used to basically queue up for it in the wholesalers in Montague Lane. And once it became available, you'd buy as much as you can because it would last no time. Yeah, and they used to do a lovely one from Quality Street, the one with the nut in it. But what happened was these ones didn't have the nut in them. They were just solid chocolate.
Okay.
And the kids used to go mad for them.
And we're told all the time not to eat ultra-processed foods. Okay. Did you look at the photograph of the display, John? Because I know you're a mathematician. You're a mathematician as well, aren't you?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Yeah,
semi-retired.
Yeah, but you're brilliant. You were brilliant at maths. You were brilliant at teaching maths. Sorry, and used to be on with Evelyn and various other people. But anyway, John, did you have a look at the photograph of the display?
I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I mean, look, they're there to sell sweets.
Yeah.
They're going to make it.
You thought it was fantastically inviting.
Yes.
And creative and colourful and.
Very professional.
Okay, okay. Well, they're looking for franchisees in Ireland, John. He retired.
That ship has sailed.
Okay, okay, okay. Thanks, John Brennan. Good to meet you, Margaret. That's a great John Brennan. Margaret Gleeson, Philly, Melissa, Madeline, Helena, Elaine, and Richard. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie and 51551 is our text number. And we are being told not to eat ultra-processed sweets. Is Alan there, Alan?
Yeah, he is indeed, Joe. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Are you being hard on delivery drivers? What happened?
I'll tell you what happened, Joe. I know Grafton Street have a certain amount of time for deliveries that go up on Grafton Street. So we're talking quarter to prime lunchtime, Grafton Street, full of tourists, kids, pedestrians, people on their lunch break. So there's a van that's usually bollards on the bottom of Grafton Street, if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, of course.
And at the very top of Grafton Street, they have these big plant pots.
Yeah.
So my concern is how a large truck van, can make his way all the way up Grafton Street. And I think it's a security concern. And there's not one guardie that was around. I did contact the company. I did get a reply from the commercial company, which I'm not going to name. They're investigating. Like, if they're doing delivery, there are side streets off Grafton Street. There are dedicated times. This is lunchtime. Like, there was an incident a couple of years ago when someone drove down Henry Street when they weren't aware. Like, a large truck. I'm sure you've seen the pictures there, Joe, that I sent into yourselves there. Like, if that reversed, or if that could have been a terrorist attack, and I'm not putting
I know, and remember Nice was that horrific New Year's Eve a few years back. But there was, I noticed when we did a piece subsequently, we did an outside broadcast on Easter Monday from outside the Custom House. And I know before the Gardaí, before we started, placed in position, they got two fire tenders from the civil defence, and they put one at either end of the space on the road, and that was to stop anyone trying to drive down if any lunacy overtook them. But it's like fire engines have to get up Grafton Street. They did a few weeks ago. Ambulances.
Gardaí have the right way, but a commercial company or another van that's not designated to the public service, an ambulance or a member of Gardaí or a member of the Defence Force, shouldn't be allowed up Grafton Street. Like, if that drove off or if that went off, if that was a bomb or something, the thing would have wiped out a lot of people in Grafton Street. Like, if there was no Gardaí made all the way from the bottom of Grafton Street, parked all the way up to the top at the main busking centre, and then the driver disappeared.
And was it? The other problem for these delivery vans,
I don't envy them because
most delivery vans now only have the driver. They used to have a helper, as it was known. That's gone. You have to try and find a parking space because so many streets are pedestrianised. You have to get your load out of the back of your van onto your hand cart or whatever. Then you have to secure your van because you're going to leave it and you don't want anything robbed. Then you have to heave your hand cart probably up a small lane, then onto the main street, and it can be a distance sometime. You know, we need deliveries.
I know, but there's dedicated times, Joe, for deliveries on Grafton Street. This is a prime lunchtime, a quarter to in the day. Like, there's dedicated times in the morning till half past 11 for deliveries, and in the evening, Joe. They're from Dawson Street, there are several. South Ann Street, you can go down by the Duke Street, you can go down South William Street, you can go down just back at the church there at Johnson's Court there. There's a number of side street access. I'm raising this because last week there was a security concern which a driver drove into government building gates.
That's a separate issue. It's been
dealt with.
Don't even mention it. But what about my point that delivery workers this day and trucks, one, they're invariably working on their own, and two, I know you mentioned Clarendon Street Church and come down the laneway there. From Grafton Street to where Clarendon Street Church is South William Street or Exchange Street or whatever, you can't get parking on Exchange Street. You can't get parking on South William Street. You can't get parking on Exchequer Street. So the vans are getting bigger because of volume and margins and all this carry on. But anyway. Well, you like I know you say, Alan, and I'm probably being a bit hard on you. I know you say, like there could be a bomb. The problem is, as we witnessed in Vienna yesterday with the Taylor Swift concerts, if some lunatics want to plant bombs, unless you can catch them beforehand, it's very difficult. A la Manchester Arena, it's very difficult to stop them. If someone wants to plant a bomb, they're not going to drive a butcher's truck down Grafton Street to attract attention. You know what I mean?
Well, I didn't name the company, Joe.
No, neither did I.
I said a commercial vehicle now, to be honest now.
Okay, that's fine. Butchers could account for thousands of vehicles. Now, the Grafton Street is pedestrianised between 11 and 6. That's 19 out of 24 hours. So they have 5 hours to effect a delivery. It's pedestrianised between 11 a.m. and 6 in the morning. So basically between 6 in the morning, you can deliver to Grafton Street between the hours of 6 in the morning till 11 in the morning. So what, 5 hours? You think that's enough? That's your point?
Yeah, and in the evening. But my point is, there's bars in the bottom of Grafton Street that made all the way straight up. Like, what happened if this person reversed? I don't know how the driver would have been able to get out. It would have been very difficult at the very top of Grafton Street for him to reverse out. He must have needed assistance to get out. I just want to make a security thing. What happened? There's like this kids on scooters, there's people tourists, and he's on his own. Like the driver. Okay, could have made a error, could have been a new person. Person wasn't familiar, but you see crowds of people. You're not going to drive through crowds of people through on the main shopping street.
But even for your own nerves, yeah. Okay, yeah, okay, thanks
indeed. It's very easy to have a reverse accident. I'm very surprised.
I know.
You know, what happened if a small child ran in front of
me? Yeah, well, what happened?
An accident. What
happened to dope like me standing at the back of his car and someone reversed and took the leg off me? But anyway, and in one sense, it wasn't their fault. It was just carelessness. But anyway, I take your point, Alan. Point well made. I'm also anxious to hear from delivery drivers. What is it like trying to deliver in this day and age? Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe Darty, Louise Stanley. Good afternoon, Louise.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What has happened?
Well, my WhatsApp was hacked. Just around this time yesterday, a message popped into my phone. But unlike other hacks that I've been aware of in the past, it was from someone that I knew.
Okay.
A friend of mine, let's say Mary, who I might hear from. So I didn't even give it a second glance. She was requesting for me to, that she'd send something to me by accident. Could I forward it to her? Now, of course, on reflection, I feel like an absolute idiot for having done that. But in the moment, the way it was presented to me, it just seemed absolute fine. But the second that I sent it, I knew I shouldn't have. So I called her and... correctly, she had not sent it to me. Her account had been hacked and the hacker had sent it from hers. So in that moment, we were caught in the, the chain reaction of that. So immediately, everybody in my WhatsApp all of a sudden got the same message. So as I tried to warn everybody, two people close to me also were affected.
But just to be clear, Louise, is it a WhatsApp group or every number in your phone that was on WhatsApp got this message? Was it a specific WhatsApp group?
So immediately that I had forwarded the code to, I had allowed the hacker in. I don't.
What is the code? I don't want to know the number. What are you talking about?
It looked as if I had requested an authentication code for my own WhatsApp, but I hadn't requested anything. It wasn't presented like that.
Follow the money. Where is who's robbing who? Is there what's the end here? There obviously people hack for money.
Yeah. Whoever the person who hacked my phone. Hacked my WhatsApp, now has control of my account, and within a few minutes was sending individual WhatsApp messages to everyone in my WhatsApp going, hi, looking for a response. Most people knew not to respond because I had gotten a warning out, but some did respond. So I don't know what the end game is, really.
Let's speculate because we don't know who's doing this. But was it going to be hi and someone came back, yeah, hi, is that you, Louise? And you say, yeah, I'm just badly stuck. I need you to revolute me 20 quid to this number, to my new number, to my daughter's
could
number.
Have been.
To my,
could
yeah,
have been.
Yeah, it doesn't take. Yeah.
However, the people that I got affected, even though it's not my fault, I feel very responsible for the people who I passed it on to, because mine is just a personal WhatsApp with friends and family and a couple of other things. But other people who received it are in business and
many people and many people do you think were affected by this message?
In my contacts, two more were fully hacked like me. I can't get my WhatsApp back. It's gone. Someone else is in control of it now. And I just cannot there's nothing I can do, as far as I know, to get it back. So myself and the two people that were affected by mine, we uninstalled, try and install the app again. We can't get to the next stage of trying to request a new code to claim it back. Okay. So it's quite complicated. I mean, I'm not techie at all, obviously. You know, it's just such, you know, there's really the thing that made this different to other attempts is the personalization of it. The message came from a personal friend. And, you know, my 89-year-old mother, Margaret, she's listening in, I'm sure. Shout out to Margaret. Mm-hmm. She is an avid user of Facebook, WhatsApp, and, you know, we're blue in the face warning her about these scams. Don't click on the link. Don't look at who's from, you know. So their awareness is huge around what... But this is just the latest and version.
So you're now saying, because maybe someone can help us, are you locked out? You will not use WhatsApp now because you're locked out of it, or you don't trust it?
Oh, I can't get into... My phone number has been robbed. So even if I can't get into it.
But you can you can send text messages to the
SMS.
That's what I mean.
I can send SMS messages, but WhatsApp is an app on its own where I have friends, family, groups, and that's gone.
Okay.
I just cannot get near it, but someone else is controlling that. And somehow, I am the fool who forwarded the code or whatever, but they have cleverly managed to steal my account, but it's affiliated with my phone number, so I can't just go and download WhatsApp and open a new one. And, you know, within that, just the knock-on effect today of trying to warn everybody, and a few minutes after, people SMSing me and sending me a message on Instagram, is this you, I could barely cope with responding to them fast enough to try and protect it from spreading, but you know, I hadn't heard, when it happened yesterday, I heard from one other friend that it had happened to her husband last Sunday. But other than that, I haven't heard of this happening because, you know, you tend to hear when they're widespread, you know. So, but I'm just really, I just would hope to try and warn everybody. This is the next thing and it's coming at you.
Let's hope someone can tell us how you can reactivate WhatsApp, because it is very handy.
It's nearly a necessity, you know. That's just how people communicate these days. I have, you know, I'm going on a trip next week, a cultural and charity trip to Ethiopia, and I'm in a group there that all that information leading up to that is being shared. Obviously, they've taken me out of it today, but, you know, that's just little things that are... and then I had to try and remember, I'm the administrator of one of the school WhatsApp groups, you know, so there's just stuff like that, and it's a lot of headaches. But the two people that my account affected would have a lot more serious stuff and, you know, being compromised by this. And look, as I spoke to your researcher, Adam, this morning, really the reason that I got on was because I was, here I am, the queen of being hacked. I was actually, my Instagram account was hacked 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the hacker was blatantly asking me for money. I have all the chats. I actually sent them in. But what's really, your magic Adam there this morning, just before I came on, I've been able to get access back to that account after 2 years. Amazing. So I'm hoping that someone in Meta can help me and my friends to resolve this one. I didn't want to wait 2 years. Okay. That's why it would be wonderful to just get some guidance on how we can retrieve our accounts. I mean, it's really...
WhatsApp, tell us. We provide a lot of information to our users on how they can keep their WhatsApp account secure. If you receive a suspicious message, even if you think you know it's who you know it's from, calling or requesting a voice note is the fastest and simplest way to check someone is who they say they are. Okay, in other words, they hear the voice. They've also advised set up a two-step verification for added security. Never share your six-digit PIN. Encourage all to use the privacy checkup feature in the app. And they also have a helpful FAQ, frequently asked questions on WhatsApp.
Yeah. But it's after that. We're after all of that now. That's how to prevent this happening. I'm looking for a fix for it, you know.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's all war. That's none of that's any use. That's, you know, and they just keep sending automated messages. You know, when my Instagram account was hacked, every single friend of mine reported it, blocked it, and I never, ever heard back from them in 2 years. Now, I'm absolutely delighted that Adam was able to help me earlier today, but really it's a shout-out to Meta to take some accountability. We're not all tech wizards, but we are, and we do need the technology, but we need accountability and support when things go wrong because, you know, it's very upsetting and it's, you know, I'm at my wit's end about the whole thing, really, to be honest.
Okay,
I mean, listen, I'm Gen X, Joe. I'm born in the late 60s. I'm used to life when it was a bit simpler, but, you know, we've had technology around for 30 years, and, of course, we need it and use it, but all of this is just making me want to move back to a simpler way of handling things and dealing with things, just maybe email and SMS. Mm-hmm. We're just also vulnerable to these attackers.
It's a warning to people, Louise, as well. That's appreciated. Okay, let's see. Can we resolve it? Resolve this one. We resolve the Instagram.
I really appreciate the, but this is much more serious, the WhatsApp. Yeah, and if I could get a guideline on how to resolve it and then pass it on and turn to the people who I affected.
Okay.
Because I really feel a personal responsibility for, you know, even though I did.
Okay.
I did forward the code.
Okay, Louise. Yeah.
Watch out for messages from your close friends.
Yeah.
Because that's how it comes in.
Okay, Louise. Good to meet you, Margaret. That's Louise Stanley. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Brian, delivering in, among other, lots of towns and cities around Ireland, is a nightmare. You say delivering to where Grafton Street is a nightmare. Why?
Yeah. Hiya, Joe. Nice to talk to you. It is, because it's all, like, it's delivery hours between 6 and 11. If you don't get in there by 11 o'clock, you might as well forget about it. And customers need that product, and well, the laser most of the time is the traffic around the quays and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you could have a couple of deliveries before that. And I was saying to you some researcher there that, like, Moore Street is the same up around the way, Cable Street and all. If you don't get into them places, you may as well park in Finglas and bring the stuff in with you, because you won't get parking. And if you, like, I've one particular delivery that I deliver in Clarendon Street. And if you can't get to the loading bay there, you have to drive the whole way back around back onto where... George Street and all, Exchequer Street and all. It's not like it's a 2 minute drive. It's a 20 minute drive, because, you know, everyone is blocking up, and then you've got people parking in loading bays, which doesn't help either. And it's an absolute nightmare. Like, the Dublin City Centre is an absolute nightmare to drive in.
It's about to get worse from the 25th, unless you're on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Or could you not deliver your stuff by Dublin bus? No.
If we could get a pallet on, I'm trying to see if we get away and get a couple of pallets onto a bus.
Grafton Street, the complaint was that this truck drove down Grafton Street yesterday near lunchtime. Is the 11 o'clock in the morning curfew, is that in force?
Oh, 100%. But, like, you know, this is just between me and you. I've gone down there the odd time at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because you have to, because customers are screaming for that stuff and they need it in. You know what I mean? And if they don't have stuff in, they have to close their doors early and stuff. And, you know, Grafton Street is very, you know, it's very high class and, you know, upper class and all that. But at the end of the day, it's any customer. Every customer needs that stuff. And if you can't get down to deliver it, like, you're in bother, like, you know what I mean? And then the customer, we suffer for that. You know, and the customer suffers for that. And then everybody, you know, but as I said, they deal with it. There's lads standing there and they have the barriers ready to put down at 11 o'clock. And if you're not out there, you have to find your way out down small alleyways and all. And trying to drive an Arctic or a truck down them alleyways is an absolute disaster. Like, you know,
Brian, are you in the truck on your own?
Yeah.
That's a nightmare as well, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. You can't leave it open. You have to lock it up. And even if you're deal going 3 or 4 times, you have to open it up, lock it back up, open it up, lock it back up. You know what I mean? You need always in the back of your head, Joe. Like, I used to have a helper with me. And, like, obviously, times are tighter now and it's harder to have a helper. But you can't. It's absolutely, it's mayhem. Like, and town, a town has just gone so, it's so dangerous, like, even, do you know what I mean? But you see the people walking around, like, you need eyes on the back of your head, Joe, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. I don't envy your job. I really don't. I just see no. Okay, no. Brian. Safe travelling, Brian.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, thanks for that, Joe at RT.ie. And you have an idea for Louise and how to, did you understand her problem?
Yeah, Joe. The same thing happened to me about a week ago.
Okay. Yeah.
What happens is as soon as they get access to your account, they kind of basically unlock it. They lock it for 12 hours. You can't get back in. That gives them time then to message everyone else and do what they're trying to do.
So they lock it. Okay, they lock it for, you reckon, 12 hours. Exactly, is it?
Yeah, so you can't actually request a new code for that 12 hours. So if she goes onto her WhatsApp now, you'll probably see a timer there saying, you know, you can't request a new code for 11 hours or whatever. So I did, I put a timer on my phone for exactly that time. And the second it reaches that, went in, I was able to click the button to request a new code. Obviously got the text message in and just entered that code. And then I was back in the WhatsApp. Now, what I've heard from people is if you don't do that on time, they can potentially relock you for another 12 hours and then it's kind of vicious circle. So, but that worked for me though. So I would say just, you have to be just on the button at exactly the time.
Yeah. But apparently WhatsApp in their statement is they mentioned WhatsApp did not put their weight behind the recommendation to wait, they say 11 hours after being locked out to try and beat the hacker on time. It doesn't mean it won't work. It's just not in their recommendations. So it did work.
It did work, yeah. I suppose they're pushing the recommendation of don't let it happen in the first place, which obviously doesn't help us. Okay. But once you get back in, then straight away, the first thing you do is you go into your privacy and your settings and just select like two-factor authentication, and then it asks you to enter a PIN. So you'll never have the issue again because they'd also need to have your PIN number as well as that six-digit code. So once you set that two-factor once, you should be sorted. It shouldn't happen again.
Okay. On sound, Mark Dwyer, broadcast controller, BCO, Shane Galvin, producer, Dave Sherry, and Anna Geary is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The outlook just got even brighter with further reductions all summer. In-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.